You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Family, you might be going through some challenges, but when you know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's reason to rejoice. Amen? Who do you know God will always challenge you to take you from where you are to where He wants you to be? Sometimes you think you've done something for God and you just want to take a break, take it easy, chill. And then God says, no, come, there's more things to do. We have to run. I want you to run with the horses. I'm going to empower you to do more. You know, when we started this church, the Lord spoke to us and one of the things that He said, I'm not going to go into much detail, I've shared it many times, but He said this, it will be like a David's army. And we have many mighty men and women that God has brought here. And He said, run in your lane and let them run in their lane. Do what they have to do. You have to do and fulfill your purpose. But one thing about the army of David, the Bible says it was like the army of God in 1 Chronicles 12 verse 22. For at that time they came to David day by day to help him until it was a great army like the army of God. When you talk about the army of God, you're talking about God's presence that's with that army. The presence of God that's with the people of God. When they go into a battle, when they face a giant, God is with them every time. When you talk about the army of God, it's people that are prepared to go an extra mile, do more than what is required of them. You know, many people have an attitude of doing the bare minimum. When they go to work and their contract says 8 to 5, they'll be there 30 seconds before 8. And when it starts getting close to 5, 10 to 5, quarter to 5, they start packing up, that at 5 they can leave. They have an 8 to 5 mentality, doing just what's required or the bare minimum. But some people have an attitude to do more. They'll be there earlier, they'll stay longer. You know, David, when you look at the life of David, David lived in the Old Testament, but he lived with a New Testament attitude, being led by the Holy Spirit. What does your Spirit require of me, Lord? What is it that I should do? And when you're led by the Holy Spirit will always help you to do extraordinary things above your own ability and strength. Ephesians, doing far more abundantly whatever we could think or imagine. And as I was just studying the Word of God this week, God challenged me on going beyond what is required. To have a mindset to do more than what is required. Who of you would like God to do far more abundantly above what you've asked? Who of you are ready to do far more abundantly above to reach that? Hallelujah. Well, let's get into the Word of God. 2 Samuel 23 verse 14. Look at this scripture. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with a longing, oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem. I mean, what is that thing that you long for? Oh, if I can just have a milkshake from this place, or cool drink from this, or a burger. What is it people long for? He longed for that water. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word that is true. Touch our hearts and change our hearts, Lord. Activate faith on the inside to do unusual things for you in Jesus' mighty name. Let your people hear your voice upon my voice, O Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And take us from where we are to where you want us to be. Help us to be one with a difference that will be prepared to go beyond what is required of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Here's David. He's just saying, I'm longing for some water. He's longing for some water. And these three men had a desire on the insides to say, we're going to do it. They had a longing, a loyalty, a love, a commitment on the inside to go beyond what is required for their God, but also for David. I want you to understand that there's nothing in the Bible that commanded them to say, thus saith the word of the Lord, that you as a mighty man should do this. David did not command them or instruct them to do this. It was a prompting, an inspiration on the inside of them to say, let's go get it. A loyalty, a love, a commitment towards God and David. Just to go get some water for him, something that he longed for. Three mighty men, three guys. I mean, the Bible says the garrison was there. The Philistines have taken Bethlehem captive. And these three guys went. I mean, some of us would look at them and think, you're crazy. But they went. But there's so much wisdom and understanding and revelation in this. The first thing I want to say is it was three men that went. And the Bible says they broke through. It teaches us that three people can bring the breakthrough. Three people that are in unity, three people that are committed, that says we're going to do it, they can do it. Whether by many or by few, God will do it. But because the Spirit of God was with them, they just went and they did it. The Spirit of God will cause us to do unusual things. These men did extraordinary things. They did what was not required of them. Many of us will only do what's required of us. There are many in the household of Christ that has gone beyond what is required of them. That's why you see these things happening here. People coming and saying, let's do something. And three people in unity saying, yes, let's do it, can do more than 3,000 that's not in unity. Jesus himself said to his disciples, he said, if somebody compels you to walk a mile, go 2 miles. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's a great attitude. That is Jesus' way of approaching things and saying, if they want you to walk 1 mile, say, I'm going to go 2 miles. He said, if somebody wants your shirt, give them the jacket as well. These men were not compelled to do it. They wanted to do it. That's a different kind of an attitude. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to have that kind of a mindset. As Christians, we should be ready to go beyond what is required of us, to do more. There's so many people here. If you're visiting for the first time and you stay long enough afterwards, you'll see how people will start to clean. They've taken ownership. They're so proud of this place, going beyond what is required of them, serving, helping, doing things. They demonstrated a love, a loyalty, and a commitment to God and to David that blows your mind. A mere longing, a mere desire. You know, the Bible says that God gives us the desires of our heart. Have you read that? He doesn't just give us the desires of our heart. It's those that he delights in, that do the things that are pleasing to him. So God acted on behalf of David in this situation and said, I hear your longing. And these three men just responded and they went and they got it. But even as David received this water, the thing that blows my mind more than anything, when he got the water, he didn't just say, thank you for the water and drank it. He understood the responsible use of blessing. That even when that water came to him, it was given to him. He didn't just drink it and say, oh, this is what I've desired for, thank you. Took it and drank it. Like I said, there are so many things in this passage. So much richness. The Bible says, number one, what did he desire? He desired water from Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a place of bread. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. The well of the water that he's longing for. Where was that? Outside the gate. Who's the gate? Jesus is the way, is the gate. He said, I'm not going to touch this water. What is the water? The water of life that flows from the inside. Jesus himself said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So that which he was desiring, what he's longing for, when he got it, he said, I cannot drink this. And he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. This part challenged me more than anything. That which he longed for, that which he desired, when it came to him, he didn't just drink it. He says, this blessing that's come to me is not just mine. This belongs to the Lord as an offering. Family, there's something in here to understand. That even when there's a sacrifice being made and a blessing has come to you that you've longed for, to ask God, who does this belong to? Because David understood every blessing that comes to man comes from God. Every advancement in the life of a Christian is because of God's grace, not because of anything that we've done. So if God blesses you, the responsible use of blessing is so important to know, who does this belong to? Can I say this? Nobody would have known. If that water came to David and they said, here's the water for you, what you've longed for, and he drank it, nobody would have known. They would have said, we've given him his heart's desire. Look how good the Lord is to him. But we are a people of heart. We are led by the Holy Spirit. And David's conscience would not allow him to touch this. He says, this does not belong to me. Even though this is what I long for, what I've desired, this belongs to the Lord. Turn to the person next to you and say, be a person of heart. He said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Most of us would just look at this and say, thank you, Lord, you've given me my heart's desire. There's a lesson in this for us as believers, for God to take us from where we are to where God wants us to be. That even when the blessing comes, to say, thank you, Jesus, for the blessing. Who does this belong to? What am I supposed to do with this? I know I want this, but what is it that you want? Your will over my will. Have you ever said, Lord, your will and not my will be done? What were you thinking? Because if you prayed that prayer, God will probably put you to a test like this where you have to die to yourself, that which you long for and want, he'll say, I want it more. We cannot take what belongs to God. You cannot take what belongs to God. Because if you take what belongs to God, how can there be a blessing that will rest upon you? How can you serve your generation? So God will often ask of us to go beyond what is required of us. May God open our eyes to understand the significance of blessing, to understand the responsible use of blessing. That blessing is not just about me getting blessed, but it's more about me being a blessing. To be a blessing. You have to change your way of thinking because we live in a society where we want to be blessed. I want the blessing. I read the scripture early on. David had understanding. He said, I will not offer anything to the Lord that cost me nothing. Cost me nothing. Cost him to still be thirsty. It cost him still to want to drink it. But he said, more than anything, Lord, I want to please you. And he poured it out. I'm not going to pour it on our carpets. Amen. We enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lamb to be in God's presence. For the Holy Spirit to be here, it's free. But it cost Jesus Christ his life. So our biggest challenge, we have contracts today, we have agreements today, is to go beyond the letter and to be led by the Holy Spirit, because it's the Spirit that gives life, not the letter. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who's made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter said, David, you can drink it. The Spirit said, no, you cannot. You have to pour it out to the Lord. The letter said, an eye for an eye. The Spirit said, no, turn the other cheek. The letter said, when you have given, that's it. The Spirit says, if you can meet a need beyond that, and if you can do good and you do not do it, you are sinning. Living in the Spirit is so exciting because God will be challenging you the whole time to go beyond your own ability so that you rely on Him the whole time, so that you have to put your faith and your trust in Him the whole time. True loyalty, commitment requires of you to go beyond what is required of you. We say, if they love me, I'll love them back. When I marry people, I always tell them it doesn't work like that. I say, if you want a happy marriage, give two pieces of love and expect one back. Sometimes you're going to have to love twice as much and only get one love back. Jesus loved us when we hated him, went beyond what was required of him, and still not everybody accepts him. We say we want to be Christians and be like Jesus, but the Jesus way is you're going to have to die to yourself. It's tough. It's tough. To be a Christian is tough. But living in the Spirit is so pleasing because it glorifies God's name. And this is why we are here, to be one with the difference. To walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, always take you to a place that requires of you to do and go beyond what is required of you. That's the Jesus way. That's the Jesus way. True love, true loyalty will always require of you to go beyond what's required of you. The question is, am I prepared to go beyond? If I say, God, this is your word, this is the standard, it requires of us to go beyond. That's what God wants. What do I mean by that? Sometimes you're going to have to move in the opposite spirit. Have you ever experienced that? I shared this morning, I said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If we say we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, people that seek righteousness are peacemakers. People that seek righteousness are peacemakers, not troublemakers. Not people that go out to fight and look for trouble. People that seek righteousness don't put their nose in business where their nose does not belong. When God has the right of way to your heart, he'll often require of you to go beyond. You know what's one of the toughest things that God can require of you? Have you ever been in a situation where you were not wrong? You are not wrong. You know you are right. And then the Lord says, go to the person and say, sorry, I want the soul saved. Just show me a hand if that's ever happened to you, where you went and said sorry and you were not wrong. Well done. Well done. Because we are here to win souls. In humility and sincerity to go. Because let me tell you something. When you've engaged in an argument, in a disagreement, there's no such thing as Hendrik was 80% wrong and I'm 20% wrong. If we've engaged, he's 100% wrong and I'm 100% wrong. And I need 100% forgiveness and he needs 100% forgiveness. And if you go with an 80-20 attitude to God, guess what? You're getting 20% forgiveness or 80% forgiveness. And that 20% unforgiveness that you're leaving there, or the 80% unforgiveness that you're leaving there, it's going to grow into something nasty that will pop up again. And that's why many of you battle with the same things over and over and over and over. Hope I'm helping some of you. If you've had a disagreement and he made you angry, or I made him angry, you first go to God. David in the Word of God says, he says, God, I've sinned against you and you alone. And you first go to God and you make right with God. Forgive me, Lord. And after you've received God's forgiveness, you can now go. I can go to Hendrik. And I can say, Hendrik, please forgive me. Did you hear what I did? I said, Hendrik, please forgive me. And he can say, yes, I forgive you. I don't forgive you. It doesn't matter. God has forgiven me already. I don't go to him and say, Hendrik, I forgive you. You were so wrong. You know you were wrong. If I do that, I'm offending him even further. And it's not the spirit of Christ and of righteousness to pursue peace between the two of us. You go and you say, Hendrik, please forgive me. And that's it. Not Hendrik, please forgive me, but. I hope I'm helping some people here. Who made you angry this week and they were 80% wrong? Let me just see your hand. If you got angry, 100% wrong. There's not 80%, 20, 30. If there's an argument, you're 100% wrong. There's no such thing as 70% sin or 20% sin. Sin is sin. Do you know what's the good news? Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example. He becomes the standard. He becomes the norm. He's Jesus. He's God. He's King. Yet he comes to this earth to lay down his life. He went beyond what is required of a God, of a holy God. A holy God, number one, came and walked on an earth here that he made. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, a slave, and coming in the likeness of man and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Family, when you have the mind of Christ, turn to the person next to you, ask them, do you want the mind of Christ? Say, this is what's going to happen. Preach to them. Say, this is what's going to happen. The mind of Christ is going to lead you on a path where you have to die to yourself. Now let me hear the loud amen. Amen. That's the journey. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But the life that I live now, I live through the help of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2 verse 20. That's the way that you do it. If you want to go beyond what is required, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. When I read this story, and I said, okay, God, this must be the only example. And he said, no, there's a lot of examples. This whole Bible is full of examples of men and women that went beyond what was required of them. Abraham, sacrifice your son, your only son whom you love. It's going beyond what is required. It was obedient. The Good Samaritan helped somebody from another culture. Looked after him. Paid the bills. Put him in the inn. Left money there and said, if there's anything else that you need, when I come back, I'll pay it. It's going beyond what is required of him. David would not sacrifice anything that cost him nothing. The woman with the alabaster jar of perfume went beyond what was required of her. 300 denarii is what she gave. Jesus said, you don't understand what she's done. She's gone beyond what is required of her. But she's done this for my burial. I'm going to die. She sees something, understands something that you don't know. None of you did it, but she did it. Amen. Amen. Esther in the palace. Her uncle says to her, if you don't do what you have to do now, God will raise up another. You're not in the palace to look pretty. You're in the palace for God to save a nation. Amen. Amen. The widow with the two coins gave beyond what was required of her. Jesus said she gave what her life depended upon. He said these other people, they gave a lot. They gave big amounts, but they gave out of their abundance. They gave what they did not need. Don't give the time you don't need. Some of you only come to church when it's available for you, when it's comfortable for you. The Bible says, do not neglect the assembly of the saints coming together here. As is the manner of some, especially as you see the day approaching. What day? The day when Jesus is coming back. He's coming back sooner than ever. Do you know where you should be? In church. Those examples, just a few examples, shows individuals with a heart, loyalty, a commitment, a love to go beyond what is required. You need heart to do that. 1 John 4:17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, So are we. So as Christ came and he said, listen, I'm just going to go beyond what is required. He says, you do the same. Have that kind of an attitude. Turn to the person next to you and say, have the mind of Christ. Have the attitude of Christ. Acts 17 verse 29 says, since we are the offspring of God. You know, if you're the offspring of God, you're going to behave like God. You have God's nature and God's ability. You know, God was challenging me this week. I was looking at so many in Christ scriptures. It says, when we are in Him. And I said, yes, Lord, in Him. In Him we are perfect. In Him we are blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus. In Him we are protected. The problem is when we don't remain in Him. He says, when I'm in you and you are in me, you'll ask whatever you want, I'm going to do it. But the challenge is we don't remain in Him. We want to step out and do our own thing. But when we remain in Him, we're the offspring of God. We have His nature. We have His ability. Paul says, when you are in Christ and you come to Him and you ask Him, Ephesians 3:20, he says, God is going to do far more abundantly above whatever you could think or dream or imagine. Christ, when He came to this earth, He went beyond. This, when I was just thinking and meditating upon this, Jesus, the King, Savior, the Teacher, the Word that became flesh. You know what He did? He washed His disciples' feet. Is that what a king does? Wash people's feet? He went beyond what was required of Him to show to us the heart of a servant. This message just challenged me. What is beyond yourself? Sometimes we say, this is beyond myself. God requires of us to go beyond what is required of us. To be one with the difference. Are you ready to be one with the difference? Let me hear you pray. Say, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Touch my heart. Change my heart. To be one with the difference. Empower me. Empower me to go beyond what is required of me. You know, the disciples, they did not speak to Samaritans. Do you know that? They didn't speak. Remember, even when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well at Samaria, they were criticized. He says, what are you talking? What are you doing with this woman? But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, wait until you've received power from on high. Acts 1 verse 8. Then go and minister in Jerusalem, in Samaria. Why? Because now you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with love. You're filled with the ability to go beyond what is required of you. We have a nation to win for God. We have a nation to win for God. We have people that needs to get saved. That's going to be part of the kingdom of God. Jesus will always help you to go beyond what you ask. He will always do far more abundantly above whatever you could think, whatever you could dream, whatever you could imagine. And He will probably do it not in the way that you think He's going to do it. Because that's just His nature and that's just His way. I'm closing with this. Even when Jesus' disciples came to Him and said, teach us how to pray. He says, I want you to think beyond what you see here on earth. When you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. Number one, let your name be glorified. Hallowed be your name. Number two, your will be done. Did you pray, your will be done? Your kingdom come. You're on earth as it is in heaven. What was He saying? He says, look beyond at what you're seeing here now and look right into heaven and bring heaven's atmosphere right here onto earth. That's what I've called you to do. I've called you to go beyond what you can see, beyond what you can do. Not respond to what you see around you, but to manifest heaven's atmosphere wherever you go. Are you ready to manifest heaven's atmosphere wherever you go? You know, here on earth, there's a lot of problems. Who of you had problems this past week? Let me see your hand. Difficulties. This whole earth is full of problems. Is heaven full of problems? No. Heaven is full of peace. Heaven is full of solutions. So what does Jesus say? He says, I want you to go beyond and not be the troublemaker or cause problems, but I want you to be the solution. And when you pray, pray heaven's atmosphere, where everything is perfect, where everything is peaceful, where there's no sickness. I want you to pray that down and go beyond what you see and what you hear and be one with the difference. Have that attitude of God's army to say we'll go beyond what's required of us. When people are gossiping, murmuring and complaining, you be the one to walk in a different spirit, to bring hope, to manifest heaven's atmosphere into that situation. Amen. Amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. 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 Hallelujah. Precious Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that we can be one with the difference, that because of your Holy Spirit, we can go beyond what is required of us. Lord, we want to see heaven's atmosphere manifest here on earth. We want to see your name be glorified. We want your will to be done, and we want your kingdom to come. Help us and use us as instruments of favor, instruments of righteousness, instruments of mercy wherever we go. And we thank you for that. We bless you for that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.